Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Came across this quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" I don't know how prayer fits in your spiritual journey. Hopefully it's integral, but I think all of us would admit we want to be more effective, more fervent in prayer. We're talking prayer today on Connecting Faith. So glad to have you tuned in. I'm Neil Stavem, along with Ted Ross and Carissa Rogers. Martin Luther said, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness." I think, Ted, all of us, you know, there are areas in our life where, you know, we realize that prayer should be more prominent and prevalent, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just this morning for me, I know I was into my phone looking at headlines and things and going, oh, wait a minute, devotions.
Sure. Well, I was kind of, you know, a little bit convicted today just about, you know, I should be praying more for our nation. May have had something to do with the, you know,
last night.
Debate last night. But and maybe that sparked a reaction in you as well, and it'd be good to turn that into prayer. We'll talk about that because we're going to talk today about every season prayers, gospel-centered prayers for the whole of life. And so kind of no matter what season you might be in or what season our nation is in, we're going to get some good help and encouragement from Pastor Scotty Smith, who joins us today, and we're really looking forward to that. It was D.L. Moody who said, "The Christian on his knees sees more than philosopher on tiptoe." Mm-hmm. We know that, and Mark Batterson said, "If you pray to God regularly, irregular things will happen on a regular basis." Kind of a good way of putting things. Well, I hope that you're praying for Haiti. That is obviously the East Coast hit, but in the Bahamas and others, but it seems like Haiti was devastated. I saw something from Compassion International say Hurricane Matthew was the worst disaster to affect Haiti since the devastating earthquake in 2010. Mm-hmm. So they've been really devastated there. But Compassion, of course, has a number of partner churches there, so they're working effectively on the ground already. And we are in partnership with Compassion International this month. And so you can find out more and be a part of that at myfaithradio.com.
Yeah, all the information's there. $38 a month, sponsor a child, change their life.
Yeah. By the way, also when you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, you could sign up to be part of our prayer team, because the Faith Radio does have a prayer team, and you'll get weekly updates, and it's just a valuable partnership, and we'd be honored for you to be doing that. If you would, just sign up online at myfaithradio.com. Well, Columbus Day today, does that make a difference to you?
My kids are home from school. That's about how it directly impacts us.
Sure. We, you know, being a Norwegian, of course, we know, you know, Leif Erikson really, you know, should have gotten the holiday, but, you know, fine. Anyway, I'll leave you with this. John Shedd said, "A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for." And we're going to talk about maybe launching out in faith and prayer. Coming up on today's broadcast, here's an area you can be praying about. I talked to a listener this morning, actually, who's concerned about the life issues, saying, you know, with so much conversation going on in the presidential debates, what seems to get overlooked is the fact that so many lives have been taken through abortion and that we need to keep that as a central focus. That was her concern. And today's point with John Stonestreet reminds us why this is truly a critical issue.
Vive l'amour! For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stonestreet with The Point. You probably know that France is officially a secular state, but with a new law, it might be fair to call our Gallic ally a secular death state. The French Minister of Families, Childhood, and Women's Rights, Laurence Rossignol, has announced the French government will seek to criminalize websites that seek to convince women to keep their babies instead of aborting them. According to LifeSite News, the punishment would include 2 years in prison and a fine of 30,000 euros. According to the French minister, abortion is a right in France, and it's recognized as such by law. Women should be able to choose with complete freedom. And by complete freedom, she seems to mean able to decide without anyone bothering them with persuasive reasons not to kill their children. Well, that's France. It'll never happen here, right? Yes, it can. Just this year, attempts to criminalize whistleblowers in California and overturning legislation in Texas made the message clear. As pro-lifers, we soldier on. Too much is at stake. With today's point, I'm John Stonestreet.
Open the blind eyes, unlock the dead fears,
maybe that is the song of your heart today, crying out in desperation, seeking God's face. Or maybe, is it for our nation, or maybe it's for something going on in your life? We're going to talk today about prayers for every season and in really almost every situation. And so honored to have back with us Scotty Smith, who's put together this new compilation of some powerful prayers, every season prayers, gospel-centered prayers for the whole of life, is his latest work. And we do have some copies to give away, and I know that you're going to want to have this rich treasury. So I just want to encourage you to go to the phones right now and sign up for that and give us your contact information. We do a drawing at the end of the hour. I think we've got three copies to give away. And just be honored for you to get one of those. It would make a big difference, I know, in your life and maybe be as a gift to someone else that would really benefit from it as well. So call 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. Let me introduce Scotty Smith back to Connecting Faith. He's the founding pastor of Christ Community Church in Franklin, Tennessee, and he's now teaching pastor in residence at the West End Community Church in Nashville, which is a daughter church of Christ Community. And Scotty also serves as adjunct professor at five seminaries, including Covenant, Westminster, Redeemer, RTS, Orlando, and Western Seminary in Portland. He's authored several books, including Everyday Prayers, as well as Unveiled Hope with Michael Card, and Speechless and Restoring Broken Things with Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I always appreciate any chance to catch up with Scotty. Welcome back, Scotty. Good to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Neil. Great to be back.
This new collection of prayers, more of what God has sort of laid on your heart in just interceding with on behalf of others. But I'm just wondering, maybe to give us some background. I mean, should written prayers be a regular part of our prayer experience? How do they help you pray, and how did this sort of get started in your own life?
Thank you for giving me a chance to tell that story, because absolutely, it was never my thought to write a book of prayers that anybody else would pray. Actually, several years ago, Neil, I was at a season when I wanted to jumpstart my devotional life, and as a pastor, sometimes you confuse what you're doing and feeding others with the Word with your own fellowship with the Lord. So I just started getting up earlier than usual and opening the Scripture, pulling open my computer, and because I'm ADD, it's great for me to stay focused. So I would pick a Scripture that related to something going on in my heart and just started praying back to the Lord through my fingers, just writing a prayer, connecting images, sitting in the Scripture. And before long, I'd write a couple of these prayers just for my eyes only, but I thought, I've got a friend struggling with something that this might be helpful for them. Sent a few prayers out, next thing I know, hey, Scotty, can I pass this on? And here we are several years later, having written the first book, which is 365 days of prayers for each calendar moment of our year, and then this new book, really, which was born out of people from around the world asking me, hey, Scotty, have you got a prayer for, or here's the situation I'm in? And so it surprised me, and it's just been a growing ministry, really, as much as anything, guys, helping people find their voice in prayer, praying the wonders of the riches of grace back to our Father.
Mm-hmm. The title is Every Season Prayers, Gospel-Centered Prayers for the Whole of Life. Say more about that. What gospel-centered? Why is that key?
Thank you. Thank you for picking up on that, because my spiritual father, 21 years, was a remarkable man named Jack Miller, who was one of my professors at Westminster Seminary. And I met Jack about 3 years into his own renewal. Jack, very committed, scholarly believer, great church planter and faculty member of the seminary, really had a great encounter with discovering more of the grace of God and the gospel, and he really began discipling me to know the difference between legalism, moralism, a grace-saturated, a gospel-fueled spirituality. And so his discipleship, mentoring of me, his teaching me how to pray the Scriptures, and it represent really so much what has overflowed through my life as a pastor, as a teacher, and is someone that, again, surprised me, wrote these two books of prayers for the larger community.
I want to talk more about, we'll kind of launch into praying the Scriptures in a moment, but I'm just curious to know, Is a written prayer, is it more effective, more clear, more heartfelt? Help us, for some of us that have maybe never done that.
That's a great issue. So. Being a child of the 60s, I kind of rebelled against all formalism and what I considered mere ritual. So however, I realized when I read the Bible, I'm reading a lot of prayers, and I certainly do not equate the prayers I write every day and post every day with Scripture, but the book of Psalms is a great example of, we go through the book of Psalms because it helps us find our voice. In the Psalms, you've got laments, you've got great rejoicing, you've got modeled for us and given to us written prayers and praises. And there are many, many other prayers throughout the Scripture that we enjoy claiming to be our own vehicle. So my book is never to be a substitute for anybody's prayer life. As much as anything, I see it as one of the ways I help disciple people in their own prayer life. To me, best case scenario is going to be that the more we see the riches of God's grace, the more we will all find courage and focus to pray the Scriptures. My book, at best, I hope, is a launching pad just to give many, many people an opportunity to say, the gospel is this wonderful, and fellowshipping with our Father covers every season of life, every moment. I can bring everything to Him through Jesus.
Well, there probably is something to be said, though, for thinking through the words that we say and maybe writing it down. We actually see maybe how our prayers sound different than when we're just sort of ad-libbing, right?
Well, at least what it does, it helps us provide, new ways of developing our fellowship with our loving God. If we do the same ritual over and over and over, it kind of becomes dry. And I know for me, this discipline that I'm now about 7 years into of getting up in the morning and being sensitive to issues around us and inside of us, it has served a lot of people, and so it's worth the sacrifice of me still hammering after it every day. I start my day about 4 in the morning, and that's not a boast. I just happen to be wired early and spend about an hour praying through Scripture and writing a prayer and then posting these prayers, and I get feedback every single day from somewhere in the world. Scotty, thank you for helping me say what I did not know how to say. Thank you for giving my heart a sense of the Scripture directing us to think about a situation, a crisis, a loss in a way that, that was helpful. So to me, that's the biggest payoff in writing these prayers, whether other people learn to write their own prayers or whether they read my prayers and make them their own. It's all about our communing with our God that's pursuing us all the time.
Talking every season prayers, gospel-centered prayers for the whole of life. Pastor Scotty Smith with us today. We're going to talk about praying the Scriptures. What does that look like? And some of the other ways in which we can learn to pray. Jesus prayed for us. And Scotty has a section there about how we can understand Jesus' prayers for us. We'll get to that and more. We do have some copies of this great resource to give away. And we'd welcome you to call and sign up for that. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And if you have a question and like to join in the conversation, we'd love to have you on with Scotty Smith here at 877-93-FAITH. Scotty is currently a teaching pastor in residence at West End Community Church. It's a daughter church of Christ Community Church, which he was the founding pastor some years ago, and he's adjunct professor at seminary, and he travels and speaks and writes, and we're honored to have him with us today on Connecting Faith, and we'll have more in just a moment.
Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles.
No matter what your season of life or your daily reality, you're going to find a prayer that can lift you up through this new resource from Scotty Smith called Every Season Prayers, Gospel-Centered Prayers for the Whole Life. Scotty is founding pastor of Christ Community Church and now serves as teaching residents at one of their daughter churches, West End Community Church in Nashville. He's an adjunct professor at several seminaries and a speaker and writer. Talking today about prayer, and one of the things, Scotty, that really this is built around is about praying the Scriptures, and that's a phrase that people may or may not be familiar with. So just kind of walk us through, what do we mean by praying the Scriptures?
Yes, to receive the Bible as God's Word to us, of course, is this tremendous realization that God loves to reveal Himself. And one of the ways my spiritual father discipled me was to say that that the more we meditate upon the Scripture, the more we spend time reading slowly through the Scripture, this is very transforming. And really to read the Scripture and really on our knees, literally or otherwise, is to begin to say, Lord, if this is true, this isn't just a game changer. This changes everything. So reading the Scripture is one of the ways of understanding the Scripture. We read slowly. We begin to say back to the Lord, thank you for this promise, Father. Or thank you, Lord, for this bold truth that confronts me in the middle of a very chaotic world. You tell me not to worry. Lord, right now, here's what I'm worried about. Thank you that there's a basis for not worrying. So really, it's just the discipline of interacting with God through the living testimony of the Scripture as the Spirit brings the promises and the provisions of grace alive to our hearts.
So is this a matter of kind of telling ourselves the truth, or is there I wonder sometimes, is there a danger of, you know, we're trying to tell God, you know, what to do? I mean, we've maybe all been in some of those prayer
meetings.
Yeah,
well, just the opposite there, I think. Thank you. Now, great observation. A lot of times, as believers, we think of prayer predominantly in terms of getting something from God as opposed to fellowshipping with God. And I've always found helpful using the little word ACTS, the word acts, is kind of a guideline for how the Scriptures actually teach us and free us to pray. If you take each of those four letters, ACTS, you get adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, which would mean that we really build a prayer life more out of adoring the Lord, worshiping Him, and acknowledging in confession the needs of our heart, who we are, why His grace is so special to us, and then thanking Him, ACT, and thanking Him for what He's doing and what He's promised to do, and then lastly, supplication, which is bringing our requests. So the more we see prayer as deepening our fellowship with the Lord and less as trying to inform Him or change His mind or move Him to action, I think that's where we really develop a rich prayer life, where we realize that prayer changes things and prayer predominantly changes me as I really get to know the Lord better by spending time with Him in prayer and especially praying through the truth of His Word.
I'll ask you in a moment, maybe you should just give us an example of how you would pray, maybe a verse of Scripture, verse by verse, or a theme, and maybe something that's just fresh in your mind, as you can maybe find that as I ask you about this. Cause, you know, it seems like we all struggle at times to find the words to pray. You know, Romans 8:26 talks about the Spirit interceding for us. Do we need to have words all the time, or, you know, can our prayer fellowship be wordless at times?
Oh, absolutely, and that's a part of what I've learned through the years, that prayer is a very broad conversation, and there's so many formats of prayer that come to us in the Bible, and so wordless praying, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit shapes prayers inside of us, absolutely, so yes, yes, yes to everything you just said, Neil.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So we're talking about praying the Scriptures, because that's really a key part of, you know, Gospel-Centered Prayers for the Whole of Life, and Every Season Prayers is new collection. Maybe just give us a sample or an example of what something that you've written recently or in the book that would help us understand praying the Scriptures.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, just pulling up right now the prayer that I wrote this morning, there's a wonderful website put together by the Gospel Coalition, the Gospel Coalition being a wonderful large community of people that love Jesus and take the scriptures very seriously. And here's what I did this morning as an example. I won't go through the whole prayer, but you know, in the midst of this very chaotic, confusing election year that we're a part of, you know, it should move our hearts heavenward. So I chose this morning for the basis of my prayer Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And here's how I prayed back the scripture to the Lord as an example. Philippians 4, 6, here's verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So here's how I began writing this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for catching every care we cast in your direction, taking every burden we offload onto your heart, and for welcoming every worry we leave at your throne of grace. You know our needs better than we do, but here are a couple that stand out. We need to know you are at work in our country, and we need your spirit to fill our hearts with a fresh sighting of Jesus. After witnessing something more akin to a debacle last night than a debate, our hearts are heavy, sad, and greatly concerned. All the rancor and contempt are wearing us out, Father. Thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus. You've given him to be our righteousness, holiness, and redemption, and our loving bridegroom and our constant advocate and returning king. No matter how this election plays out, we can say with confidence, Jesus is Lord. Now, that's just an example of one of three verses I prayed this morning, but you can kind of see the rhythm there. We live in a real world with real concerns, and God's word is so relevant, and to pray back to him what he says to us keeps us on track. We don't wander into the wilderness of just not knowing the good news that can shape how we worship, how we pray, and even what we do with our worries.
You've been doing this, you said, kind of a seven-year journey. Is there maybe one thing that it's done for you, shaped you, changed you differently?
Yes, I'd say this. You know, when you think of a lot of the scriptures that talk to us about like this in Romans 1 and Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I think for me, what's been a benefit for these last 7 years is this is just a great discipline of a new way of reading the Bible. It's nothing revolutionary. It didn't really start with me, obviously, but it helps me to begin my day by filling my mind with a portion of Scripture and really connecting it to some season of life or some issue of life. And it's made me, Neil, more sensitive to my friends. A lot of times on a daily basis, my prayers might be born out of a struggling marriage I'm aware of. And I don't obviously pray publicly for someone else's struggle, but I pray generally. And so needs, hurts, and longings, I've become more aware of God's work in the world. Certainly, I filled my heart more full of the unfolding story in the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. So it's focused me. It's centered my heart. I find myself quicker in a place of returning to what I call gospel sanity, okay, as I, you know, have been practicing.
Let us pray. Let us pray.
Curtis Chapman has been a longtime friend of Scotty Smith. In fact, they've collaborated on several things, including the book Restoring Broken Things. And Stephen writes on this new collection, the book Every Season Prayers, that he says, our journeys through deepest valleys and over highest mountains have been lined with the prayers of Scotty Smith. Scotty is founding pastor of Christ Community Church and now is teaching residence at West End Community Church, which is a daughter church of CCC. And he's a speaker and writer, and works with a number of seminaries. And we're talking Every Season Prayers, gospel-centered prayers for the whole of life. And one of the aspects of this book, which is full of rich writing, we don't have time to review all of it, but you include a section of Jesus' prayers for us, which is one of the amazing things about our loving Savior, that he prays for us. Say more about that.
Yes, that chapter in the book, Neil, goes through John chapter 17, which is known by lovers of the scripture as the high priestly prayer. And what I do in that particular chapter is to walk us through the topics, the themes that are clearly revealed in that wonderful chapter in John's Gospel, showing us how Jesus prays for us. For example, one of the things that Jesus prays for us in John 17 is that we might know the fullness of his joy. So in the midst of that chapter where I walk us through a 10-day prayer journey through that prayer, I spend time meditating upon what a beautiful gift it is and just offer words back to Jesus, thanking him that he wants our hearts to be filled with his joy. So, I mean, and let's just think about it for a moment. It's just what we really mean by meditating upon the scripture. When we think about reading the Bible and meditating upon it, that's the essence of what it means to pray, to go slowly, to sit in the beauty of what the scriptures say and allow our hearts to say back to the Father, to the Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you that this is true. Thank you that this is what you're praying for me right now. Lord, help me in my struggle know more of your joy. This is a very hard day or I feel so disconnected from you. So hard to go wrong with praying what Jesus we know is actually praying for us.
Speaking of hard days, you have prayers in here for someone with mental illness, for the addicted, for those feeling unqualified for service. I mean, it just seems like we're all having maybe days where, as you said right from the outset, hey, Scotty, do you have a prayer for dot, dot, dot? Is it okay for sort of us to lean on somebody like you to say, well, maybe I don't have the faith to pray on my own, so can you carry me for a while?
Well, my experience has been, Neil, that brothers and sisters in Christ literally from around the world would conclude that. And that's why, like I said, as I continue blogging prayers daily, today is no exception. I will get emails from people from one of the sites where my prayers are posted, and they'll just say, thank you, Scotty. I'm so sad or I'm so overwhelmed. I really needed this devotional. I needed this blog. I needed you, the way you brought your heart to the throne of grace, which would be the vehicle by which I would come. So, yeah, it's not a ritual. It's just a gift that we enter into. As we say, we bear each other's burdens. And so for me, the joy has been to develop this ministry that for a lot of people has proven to be very helpful. And well beyond reading one of my prayers, helping them freshly connect in their fellowship with the Lord. And that, to me, like I said, that is my biggest goal, to disciple people in their own prayer life.
You and your wife have found a way to pray together. Was that an easy prayer to establish?
Well,
establish?
Thank you for mentioning that. My wife, Darlene, and I have been married 44 years, which itself is a great testimony to the power of the gospel, because we often say, no two people were probably as ill-prepared for marriage as we were when we got married. So the Lord's been very gracious. But, yes, we learned early on that one of the greatest things we could do in our marriage, which would be to bring each other to the throne of grace and to learn how to pray together, even when it feels awkward, even when it's difficult. So we put that discipline in place early in our marriage, and it's really carried us through a lot of seasons of being parents, of struggling in a difficult world, of different stories the Lord has taken us through. So, yes, we have, and we do pray together. And it's why in the book I have that short section of prayers that couples can begin to pray together, just as a way of giving them a way of getting started. And I don't want them to grow dependent upon my couple prayers, but at least, gives them a voice, and from there they can develop what may be the overcoming of an awkward part of the relationship they've never been able really to walk into.
One of the things that one of the seasons you include was the short and simple prayers. And, there's Jesus had something to say about those praying with much words, but maybe we need more of these.
Well, some of the fascinating, Neil, when you start studying the history of prayers, both written prayers and just the different things people have written about prayers, our English Puritan friends wrote about shooting up prayer arrows. And I love that image of just sometimes one sentence, sometimes one phrase that I would just shoot heavenward. You know, one of the most repeated prayers in the whole Bible. In fact, the most repeated question from Genesis through Revelation is a prayer, and it's recorded numerous times, and it's the prayer, "How long, O Lord?" Now, that's a very legitimate prayer, and when that prayer is offered by God's people, both in the Old and the New Testament, it gives us the freedom to pray that same prayer. Lord, when are you gonna send Jesus back? Or Lord, when can my heart be lifted to this burden I've been walking with? And so I got a whole section of just brief little prayers like that for various topics, just to give, again, our friends an opportunity to say, I think I can learn this rhythm. I think I really can learn to talk to the Lord about these kinds of things with my own words.
Well, that, I guess, brings up the question, how do we pray maybe more honestly about our feelings about, evil or suffering or injustice? You talk about prayers of lament.
That's why there's a section in the book as well that's kind of patterns some of the Psalms. In the book of Psalms, there's several Psalms scattered throughout the 150 songs of Israel that we call laments. And a lot of times in our churches, Neil, I found it even as a pastor that believers have a hard time being very honest and vulnerable and real about what they're experiencing. And a lament is not an opportunity simply to complain about something. It's more than that. It's richer than that. It is being very honest about a difficulty. In some ways, the book of Job is like an extended lament where we watch one of God's sons, one of God's dear sons, going through horrible transitions and losses, and we see that he laments, and some of his friends don't like the way Job is talking to God, so they try to fix him, but obviously in the book of Job, our Heavenly Father commends Job for his honesty, and he ends up rebuking the friends of Job that just try to fix him or reduce him to a formula of spirituality, so lament is important, very important.
You've been writing and sharing, prayers written together for a number of years. But say a bit about maybe the aspect of corporate prayer in our churches. Did you always write them out when you were leading the congregation?
No. In fact, that's this new position you mentioned that I've been enjoying for the last 3 years as teacher in residence at West End Community Church in Nashville. We, like many church families, love to worship the Lord corporately, and we historically have used different elements of liturgy, whether it's historic old hymns or the Apostles' Creed or words that really connect us with the larger body of Christ. And what I started doing a couple of years back was writing a prayer of confession for our service of worship that would lead into private confession. And so every week now in our church family, I'll know which pastor's preaching and what theme they might be preaching on. So I will write a fresh prayer that we pray corporately out loud together that really starts by reminding us of the goodness of God towards us in the gospel and then gives us language to acknowledge some of the things that we want to bring before the Lord as a corporate family. And then from there, like I said, we go into a silent, personal time of reflection before the Lord of confession, and then we end singing God's praise for being a generous, loving, forgiving God together.
Well, maybe that'd be a good way to kind of wrap up our conversation. If there's a prayer of confession, acknowledging our needs and our need for God's grace, if there's one that, or a portion of one that kind of comes to mind that you might be able to share with us just as another way for us to corporately gather together and pray on this important day when, our nation, we need as God's people to seek his face.
Well, I would be most glad right now just to offer a prayer along those lines, just from my heart in the very form of the way I would write a prayer every day. So let me just offer a brief prayer for us in that very rhythm. Absolutely, Neil. Heavenly Father, thank you for this program today and for the fellowship we enjoy together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we do bless you for being such a generous God. We do honor you for being the sovereign God that sets up kings and sets down kings according to your will and plan. Father, we acknowledge that we're a fearful people. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are confused. And in light of your promises to make all things new through Jesus, in light of your promises to bring the fullness of the kingdom of Jesus to earth one day, we trust you, Lord. We bring you our fears. We bring you our longings. We pray for wisdom. We pray that your peace would rule as an umpire in our hearts during this very difficult time in our country. Lord, help us to be more a people of faith than a people of fear. Help us to believe the gospel more than we gossip with our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to be trusting in your promises, seeing your Son sitting at your right hand, a people that will love being a citizen of your kingdom as we seek to be a good citizen of our countries. We thank you, Father. We abandon ourselves to your goodness and your sovereignty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Scotty Smith joining us today is founding pastor of Christ Community Church in Franklin, Tennessee, and now teaching resident at West End Community Church, one of their church daughter churches, and shares as adjunct professor at a number of seminaries and writes regularly, in fact, blogs daily, and you can find his prayers posted, and you've got a great collection called Every Season Prayers, Gospel-Centered Prayers for the Whole of Life, just out from Baker Books, and I recommend it to you. In fact, we've got some copies to give away, and if you'd like to sign up for that, you can call us at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. So appreciate you, Scotty, for joining us today and just offering some encouragement to help us find our voice in prayer.
Thank you.
Scotty Smith joining us today here on Connecting Faith. I want to just share a song that we've been sharing a lot lately in our worship services. Maybe you have as well, and one that maybe describes your prayer heart today. Give a listen to this. It's Desert Song from Hillsong. Scotty Smith about his new work, Every Season Prayers, Gospel Center Prayers for the Whole Life. We do have some copies of that to give away, and so you can still sign up for that. Call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and every other Monday we love to connect with Lisa Marone to talk health and fitness and just experiencing good health. Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake, the title of her great book. Lisa is a physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, and Her expertise ranges from physical pain to overcoming overeating and protecting against and reversing diabetes and aging and other diseases. And we want to talk, Lisa, today about something that we probably don't pay enough attention to, getting enough sleep. And Lisa, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Neil, great to be with you this afternoon.
I don't know if it has anything to do with, TV shows, debates or something going on Sunday evenings, but there may have been some people that didn't sleep well last night. You've got some encouragement for us, though.
Yeah, I think this election has a lot of people not wanting to sleep very well. When we try to go to sleep at night, many of us sabotage our own good night's sleep. And one of the ways that we do that is we stay up in a very well-lit environment, staring at brightly lit tablets and laptops and televisions. And many of us have televisions in our bedrooms, that are shining the light right across our beds. And so that is something that is working against our sleep because it's prohibiting our bodies from making a very important compound called melatonin. You may have heard of that before.
Yeah. Now, you call melatonin sleep gold. Explain, what is melatonin?
Melatonin is a chemical that when it's produced in our bodies, it not only makes us sleepy, but it also stabilizes us and keeps us asleep. It supports our sleep at night. And it is a chemical that is produced in our brains, and it is very dependent upon darkness to produce more of it. So as our day goes by and the sun starts to go behind the earth and we get darker and darker, that is how our bodies trigger to produce more melatonin. And so the way that we used to function, we didn't have lights in our homes way back when. And so as it got darker, our bodies produced adequate melatonin. We slept well, we stayed asleep, and we woke up refreshed. And now we're not having that same situation, so we have to be extra diligent to protect that.
So if we're having more, I guess you call it light pollution in our lives and rooms, all those things, is that really going to affect us? I mean, significantly, or can people just sort of shut it off and go to bed anyway?
Yeah, for most people, it does affect them significantly. 74% of Americans don't get enough sleep to begin with, so we don't even schedule in enough time to sleep. So the time that we hit our heads on our pillow, we really want it to work for us. We don't want to be waking up in the middle of the night because we don't have enough melatonin. So the way, Neil, that people can begin to produce enough melatonin, we can do it naturally I always tell people about 2 hours before you go to sleep at night, start to lower the lights in your home. Great thing to have your lights on dimmer switches so you can drop the lights down. We don't need to be brightly lit right up until bedtime. And an hour before bedtime, it's really great to close your tablet, close your laptop. Reading a book, an old-fashioned book, as opposed to one reading on the Internet where you have that bright backlit blue light is actually better for melatonin production. That said, though, Nooks have a different type of backlighting, and so they're not as harmful as just reading your laptop or reading through the news on your tablet.
So this is, will actually help us get into our sleep cycle more quickly and stay in it longer, right?
And stay in it longer. Now, for people who just can't do that or they need a little help or you happen to be someone who travels through time zones, there is supplemental melatonin that you can take that helps to support your sleep or helps to make you drowsy so you can fall asleep. And there are varieties of these in the drugstores and in GNCs and other places that sell vitamin shop. But be very careful when you're buying a supplement because there are some supplements that are labeled natural melatonin and others that are synthetic. And here, Neil, is one of those times when you don't want to go natural. Natural is oftentimes harvested through animals and can be contaminated. So you actually want synthetically lab-produced melatonin to support your sleep. So you can take it from a pill like that, or you can also use a product called tart cherry juice. It's not sweet cherries. They are tart. But tart cherry juice is the only natural supplement of melatonin that's nice and safe for us. We can drink some of that an hour or so before going to bed.
And that's enough to make a difference in this production of melatonin.
Absolutely. It gives you almost double what your body would normally produce. So this tart cherry juice is a fabulous substance because not only does it have natural melatonin in it, but it also has an anti-inflammatory in it, and it also has is high in antioxidants. So you get really like a wow with tart cherry juice if you're trying to help yourself sleep at night.
If we're taking a synthetic melatonin, are we going to wake up asleep in the morning? Are we going to be groggy the next day?
If you take this meal before you go to sleep and you give yourself that 7 to 8 hours time of sleep, you absolutely should not wake up groggy. But if you wake up in the middle of the night at 3 or 4 in the morning and you think, oh, I think I should pop a melatonin, then you likely will still have that in your system come 6 or 7 a.m. when you need to get up. So not the best time to take it.
Okay. And, I mean, the reality is that lack of sleep is affecting us as a nation in pretty significant ways. So this is not just a minor issue, is it?
It's not. You know, research has shown that the amount of sleep that we get at night is the greatest predictor of our longevity. That's more so than our body weight or whether or not we exercise. So if we're sleeping less than 7 to 8 hours a night on a regular basis, we will actually be decreasing our longevity. So that's a real critical thing. More research is being done on melatonin, and they're beginning to see that it has a great impact on our immune system. And we've known for a long time, you don't sleep well, your immune system goes down. But now they're finding that actually it's melatonin that has a significant impact on our immunity.
Get healthy, for heaven's sake. That's what Lisa Marone recommends and speaks about and is offering encouragement today. Talking today about, you know, using a synthetic melatonin supplement, not a natural one, or drinking tart cherry juice, a couple ways to get that sleep gold, melatonin, get it back into our system. Lisa Marone, a physical therapist, professor and author, always glad to connect with you, Lisa. Thanks for your good tips today.
You're welcome. I hope people sleep better tonight.
Check out Lisa's website, lisamarone.com, M-O-R-R-O-N-E.com, lisamarone.com. We'll check in with her in a couple weeks.
You know, God has given us each a story to tell. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Ben Connolly describes the impact that sharing your story with people can really have.
Learning each other's stories just helps us practice the art of listening. Humans don't seem to be widely known for our ability to listen to others well. We're more known for our ability to talk about ourselves. So sharing each other's stories kind of forces us to slow down and listen.
Each time people tell their stories, the listeners can learn something new.
Our community has done this periodically every year, so we'll just go around and for new folks' sake, everyone will kind of share their stories. And so it really helps just give us a good starting point for discipleship rather than just assuming everyone's on the same playing field.
A community of storytellers brings glory to Christ as each member learns from the others. To learn more about stories and sharing those stories, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
I love hearing your stories, too. If you have a testimony, just a comment about programming you hear on Faith Radio, you're welcome to connect with us. You can always call our Faith Lines available 24 hours a day, 877-93-FAITH, and you press 2 to leave your comment or concern there. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, even prayer concerns, about prayer today. We do pray for our listeners in our staff meetings.
Every week, love to do that, so it would be an honor to pray for you if you have a prayer request, and hope that you would consider joining our Faith Radio prayer team. Again, you can sign up for that online and you get regular updates, and we'd be honored to have you praying with us and together with us here on a regular basis. We mentioned Corrie Ten Boom at the beginning of the show. She said, what wings are to a bird and sails to a ship, so prayer is to the soul. So thank you for encouraging us and being part of the prayer team here at MyFaithRadio.com. Tomorrow, Ted, we're going to talk parenting with Paul David Tripp. 14 gospel principles that can radically change your parenting.
Can always use help.
I have no question about it. So we'll get some great insight from Paul David Tripp tomorrow on Connecting Faith.